Welcome to live coverage of the 2008 State of the State Address, coming to you from the Assembly Chambers at the State Capitol in Madison. Good evening. I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television.
And I'm Sean Johnson with Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, we hear Governor Jim Doyle's sixth State of the State Address. And we expect to hear his visions for growing Wisconsin in the face of a national economic downturn.
That's right, but a gloomy economic picture will be hard to brighten. Consider the news that state tax revenues are down, which could spell deep spending cuts. In fact, the governor references that in an early read of his speech before he delivers it here. He also points to several areas of priority, including some business incentives to help grow Wisconsin.
Right, and we've heard about these in recent weeks. He's going to talk about expanding tax breaks for angel investors, people who sink money into startup businesses, tax incentives for reinvesting capital gains in Wisconsin businesses, for research and development, for manufacturers, and for the state's agriculture industry.
And the governor's making his way into the chambers now, of course, as you can see, to applause. And some of that applause, no doubt, from the other side of the aisle with some of these business incentives that you've just mentioned. But there are other items, of course, in this address, including helping small businesses to be able to afford and maintain health care coverage. That will be something that he'll talk about. He also wants to make sure that the Great Lakes Compact passes to protect our Great Lakes. And there are some other nuggets in this, but we are embargoed from discussing them, according to his speech, until the governor himself goes ahead and delivers them. But, you know, given that many of these items are things that Republicans apparently agree with, how do you think this will go in this bifurcated legislature?
Yeah, it's you've seen an interesting response already from Republicans who basically said on a number of these tax credits for businesses and for investors, we like these, that our spring agenda basically mirrors the governor in these areas. And you've heard a lukewarm response from Democrats on these. The new majority leader there, Russ Decker, has said we'll have to give it a look and look at the details before we know if these are good ideas for the state.
And so this is kind of a flip-flop from where we've been before, where we have a Democratic governor and a Republican assembly majority. It may well be difficult to get through because there aren't very many weeks left before they could actually pass some of these things that would actually do some good, presumably, toward the economy.
Right. They're scheduled to wrap up the legislature's spring business in the middle of March. There's not much time. They have their own agendas of things that they want to get to in that time. So getting to everything the governor wants to do is going to be a challenge. They might well be things that he's laying out for next year in some of these cases.
And one of the questions that we'll be asking Speaker Mike Hipsch, who will join us following the governor's address, to talk with his about his responses, where some of the money might come from to launch some of these new initiatives.
Yeah, even on these tax credits that Speaker Hipsch likes, that's less money in the state coffers, and it's a difficult proposal right now.
And no doubt about it, a difficult time all around for states, including our own. It appears now that we should go to the governor's address.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Greg. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To Speaker Hipsch and Speaker Pro Tem Gottlieb, President Risser, Majority Leader Decker, to the constitutional officers, the Supreme Court justices, the tribal leaders, members of the cabinet, distinguished guests, members of the Wisconsin legislature, and fellow citizens of Wisconsin. Tonight, our nation finds itself at a time of great uncertainty. America's economy is in deep turmoil. In just the last few days, markets around the world have plummeted, and talk in Washington has turned from recovery to recession. Make no mistake, challenging days are ahead. But one thing is certain. In Wisconsin, we are hardworking people. And when challenges arise, we meet them head on. Passionate people who invent and innovate, who build and grow. People who enjoy life, who wear cheese on their heads, and who still love the green and gold. Wait till next year. When they said American manufacturing was finished, we showed the world what quality was all about. We got leaner, more efficient, and today we're producing the highest quality products in the world. When they said California would become the number one cheese producer, we modernized our dairy industry, captured new markets, and today we're producing more cheese than ever. And when they said we could not compete with high-tech industry, we invested in our universities, built new companies, and supported the best scientists in the world. And now we lead the nation in high-tech research. This is the promise of Wisconsin. Our ability to transform challenge into opportunity, to face difficulties and overcome. In Wisconsin, we've taken steps to prepare for a national economic downturn. We've cut spending, we've cut taxes, and we deposited the first $50 million ever in a rainy day fund. Jobs are up in Wisconsin. Exports are up. And from Uline and Pleasant Prairie to Logistics Health and La Crosse, we're attracting new companies, and we now lead the Great Lakes states in job creation. But all signs show that America's economy is slowing. And all of us in this state will be affected in the weeks and months ahead. Many of the challenges we face today in Wisconsin can be traced to years of bad decision-making in Washington. For nearly a decade, our national government has failed to address major economic problems like loss of manufacturing jobs, spiraling health care costs, and reliance on fossil fuels. For too long, Washington has ignored the growing trade deficit and a weakening U.S. dollar. And today, we are reaping the consequences of Washington's failures. States across the country, from Florida to California, Minnesota to Arizona, are all facing budget deficits. In Wisconsin, we used conservative estimates from the Fiscal Bureau to develop our budget. But because of the national economic slowdown, we too will face a difficult fiscal situation. We will have to delay some of the things we all agreed on. We will have to make deep cuts and hard sacrifices. Tonight, I stand before two houses of a legislature, each led by a different party. That is a source of strength and a source of weakness. Last year, we saw gridlock and a budget that was delayed 4 months. But in the end, we saw what was possible when we work together. Together, we made government leaner and focused on the priorities of the middle class. We cut the bureaucracy by more than $200 million. We protected funding for education, for health care, for public safety. We made tough choices to strengthen our economy and make life in Wisconsin more affordable. We raised the tax on cigarettes to reduce smoking, but we didn't raise income taxes, we didn't raise business taxes, we didn't raise sales taxes. In fact, we cut taxes on health care, child care, and college education. We cut taxes for farmers and manufacturers. We ended the tax on Social Security income. We ended the tax on estates, and we continued the tightest property tax limits in our history. Over the last 4 years, we have seen the property tax burden fall to its lowest level in more than two decades. Yes, we have made real progress, but there is still much more to do. So tonight, I am proud to report that even during these uncertain times, the state of Wisconsin is primed to meet the challenges ahead. We are ready to grow Wisconsin. It will take Democrats and Republicans and independents working together. It will take honesty with the people of this state about the problems we face. It will take a willingness to look forward and see that our long-term strength comes from a very basic belief that a strong, healthy middle class represents our best hope for a strong, healthy Wisconsin. To get there, I present to you tonight the next step in my Grow Wisconsin strategy. Real priorities to foster innovation, to seize new energy opportunities, make health care more affordable, and build an educated workforce ready to compete around the world. It starts with investing in those things that offer the greatest promise for Wisconsin's long-term economic growth, like expanding our high-tech sector. Thanks to the ingenuity of innovators across the state, we're doing it. Just last month, not at Harvard, not in California, but at the University of Wisconsin, Dr. Jamie Thompson and other Wisconsin researchers embarked on the next frontier of stem cell research, using skin cells to create new stem cells that may one day save lives. Please. Please welcome one of Wisconsin's best-known scientists, Dr. Jamie Thompson. Because we kept politicians out of it, Wisconsin remains the world leader in stem cell research. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Thank you, Dr. Thompson, and so many other Wisconsin researchers for helping Wisconsin lead the way. In the coming months, we'll break ground on the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery, a new research center that will enhance human health and enhance our economy. We'll bring biotechnology, nanotechnology, and information technology together to turn new discoveries into economic opportunity. From research at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and the Medical College of Wisconsin to the NanoRite project in the Chippewa Valley and new facilities at the Marshfield Clinic, we are building economic engines in every corner of this state. Research and development is what keeps Wisconsin at the forefront of the changing global marketplace. From the supercomputer to the outboard motor, Wisconsinites have always been committed to innovation. This commitment has changed our economy and changed our world. Today, our universities and public institutions are global centers for research and development. We must drive private sector investment in research and development as well. We can create an economy built around innovation if we work with Senator Kreitlow and Representatives Clayfish, Sheridan, and Smith to encourage business to center their research and development operations in Wisconsin. When a business increases its research and development by 25%, let's reward them dollar for dollar for what they invest beyond that. In recent years, Wisconsin's share of venture capital has doubled. Together, we provided tax credits to leverage over $400 million in private venture capital by 2015. That is great bang for our buck. And with the help of Senators Sullivan and Plehle and Representatives Strakota, Schilling, and Hintz, we can take it to the next level to further accelerate new business in Wisconsin. Businesses like Virent Energy Systems, led by Eric Apfelbach. This company is developing renewable fuel technology and could become the next Google or Microsoft. Eric, is Eric here this evening? Eric, please. Eric. Eric is the kind of person that we're banking on to build Wisconsin's economy. This is an incredible company with some of the finest researchers out of the university and in the university community devoted to trying to figure out the best, the highest energy output from ethanol. Eric, we're counting on you, and we're counting on many other businesses like you. By helping kickstart companies like Virent, or reforming our capital gains tax to drive reinvestment in our state, we can unleash the entrepreneurial spirit of Wisconsin. Wisconsin manufacturing and agriculture are the core of who we are. We must streamline regulation and make smart investments in the next generation of these industries. Today, we're producing more milk than we have in nearly 20 years because we helped our dairy industry become more efficient. Let's work with Representatives Ott and Steinbrink, Senator Vinehout, to do the same for our cheesemakers, meat processors, and others. Small and mid-sized manufacturers like GenMet in Mequon have gone from 50 people and $3 million in sales to 80 people and $12 million in sales because they've maintained a commitment to quality and they have become more efficient. Let's continue our investments in lean manufacturing. Work with Senators Lassa and Sullivan and Representatives Jeskiewicz and Strakota to direct $85 million to strengthen Wisconsin's manufacturers. We've worked hard to create high-paying jobs, but we must provide opportunity for every Wisconsin worker. In my first term, we raised the minimum wage after 8 years of inaction. We moved ahead of other states at that time. But members of the legislature, it is time to do it again. Imagine trying to pay $3 a gallon for gas when you're making $6.50 an hour. Imagine trying to clothe your children, pay for college, or buy groceries on $260 a week before taxes. We can do better, and we must do better. Wisconsin's minimum wage now ranks 40th in the nation. Let's support Majority Leader Deckard's efforts to raise the minimum wage to help nearly 230,000 Wisconsin families who are trying to get ahead. Thank you. This is the point when, after the speech, people ask me, who have never been to one of these before, ask me, how come one side stands up and the other side doesn't? We have set Wisconsin on the right course to seize new economic opportunities and lead our nation's response to one of the most critical challenges of our time. Our addiction to foreign oil is compromising our national security, paralyzing our economy, and melting the polar ice caps. The global threat of climate change is undeniable. Temperatures across the Northern Hemisphere have reached their warmest point in over 2,000 years. A barrel of oil has topped $100. And just look at the price of gasoline at the pump, nearly double what it was just 5 years ago. The oil companies don't care. They're making their biggest profits in history. Our country is sending over $1 billion a week in oil payments to the Middle East. Just imagine if we were investing that kind of money right here in Wisconsin. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We should depend more on the Midwest and less on the Mideast. And we are doing that today. Since I became governor, we have worked together across party lines to increase production of Wisconsin-made ethanol from 0 gallons to 500 million gallons a year. Last fall, I brought governors from across the Midwest together in Milwaukee to chart a new energy direction for our region and our world. At the University of Wisconsin-Madison, we are launching the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, bringing together researchers from 5 other universities across the country. Our nation's dependence on foreign oil must end, but drilling our way out of this crisis is not the answer. We must invent and innovate our way to a cleaner, safer, energy future. And tonight, from generating wind power in Fond du Lac to harnessing the power of biomass in Rice Lake, Wisconsin is ready to lead the way. Tonight, we'll launch an aggressive new strategy to reduce the pollution that causes global warming and grow Wisconsin's economy. The Wisconsin Energy Independent Fund, a major new investment to make Wisconsin a world leader in renewable energy and homegrown power. Over the next 10 years, Wisconsin will invest $150 million to help our businesses, our farmers, our foresters, and our manufacturers produce and promote renewable energy. Our strong manufacturing base and rich agricultural industries, along with the wealth of resources in our vast northern forests and our world-leading research universities, position Wisconsin to become the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy. From manufacturing wind turbines and solar panels to retrofitting fuel pumps and exploring the latest clean technologies, we will seize green opportunities and create good jobs for our citizens. But we won't stop there. Tonight, we'll launch a new campaign to increase the availability of renewable fuel by 1 billion gallons. First, we'll provide new tax credits for biodiesel fuel producers and add 400 new renewable fuel pumps to our roads. Second, Let's pass a renewable fuel standard sponsored by Senator Kreitlow and Representative Souter to require oil companies to provide renewable fuel for our consumers. Energy costs continue to rise, and Wisconsin families deserve relief. Over the next 18 months, we will make another historic investment, $95 million, to help save families and businesses over $500 million over the next decade. To grow Wisconsin, we must address the most significant burden on our economy, our businesses, and our families, health care. Today, more than 90% of our citizens have health insurance, making Wisconsin a national leader. Yet too many in our state still don't have affordable health insurance, running to the emergency room when they get seriously sick, driving up health care costs for all of us. 600,000 citizens in this state lack health insurance, and nearly 98,000 of them are children. I think we can all agree, no child should go without health care. And we've done something good here in Wisconsin. This year, under the leadership of Speaker Hipsch and Senator Robson, members of both parties came together to provide every single child the health care they need at a price their family can afford. No more financial dead ends for our families. No more needless emergency room visits. On February 1st, we will launch Badger Care Plus and fulfill our moral obligation to every child in this state. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Fred. Thank you, Mike. And when Badger Care Plus is fully implemented, 98% of Wisconsin citizens will have access to affordable health insurance, making Wisconsin America's health care leader. Let's keep leading the way. Skyrocketing health care costs are paralyzing our economy. And across the country, small businesses, their employees, and their families are shouldering the worst of the problem. Less than half of small businesses can even afford to provide insurance for their workers. These families represent over half of the uninsured people in this country. And the problem is getting worse. Small businesses and their employees pay 18% more for health insurance than big companies. And their insurance bills may go up 30% one year and 50% the next year. Senator Vinehout and Representative Seidel have been working with businesses and healthcare experts to solve this problem. Rising insurance costs are killing our small businesses. For over 25 years, Keeper Goals, a small manufacturer in Butler, Wisconsin, has made high-quality athletic equipment, such as soccer goals and basketball hoops. John Moynihan is with us tonight. John. John is the kind of owner that is at the heart of the Wisconsin economy. Small manufacturer working to try to do the right thing by providing health insurance to his employees. He has 11 full-time employees, 7 of whom participate in their health care plan. For the past 2 years, his insurance costs have gone up nearly 60%. He spends nearly 15 times what he spent on health care a decade ago. He says that health care costs take up almost 25% of his overall business. Every year, John works with an insurance broker to look for better health care deals, and every year the costs go up. A horrible illness or accident could happen to any one of us. The purpose of health insurance is that we all share the risk. But when one person at Keeper Goals gets sick, their costs go through the roof. This, to me, comes down to an issue of basic fairness. Two people, same age, same health history. The only difference is that one sits behind a desk and another makes things for a living. Why should our farmers, our manufacturers, and our service employees and others have to pay so much more for health care? For years, we have worked on lowering health care costs. We have created purchasing pools and co-ops, and they've helped, but it's just not enough. We have a system that is not working for people like John. A system that allows insurance companies to cherry-pick who they'll cover. A system that too often puts insurance companies and drug companies ahead of small businesses and ordinary families. It's time for a change, and it's called Badger Choice. A one-stop shop for small businesses where there's real competition among insurance companies and real choice for consumers. Modeled off of the most innovative solutions in the country, our plan will create a consumer-driven healthcare marketplace for nearly 800,000 people. Here's how it works. First, by harnessing the purchasing power of Wisconsin's small businesses, we can drive down costs and provide real savings for families. Second, we'll create a simple, straightforward website and a 1-800 number that will reduce administrative costs and make it easy for families to understand their options. Third, we can eliminate one-size-fits-all health plans and allow employees to choose from a dozen private plans, applying their employer contribution to the one that works best for them. And finally, and this is the critical step, through a new community rating system, we'll inject real stability and fairness, ensuring that all of us in Wisconsin share the risk. Our economy, our businesses, and our families need health care reform that draws from the best Democratic ideas and the best Republican ideas. A plan that gives our small businesses the relief they need and gives Wisconsin families the peace of mind they deserve. Let's keep leading the way. Our efforts to fight smoking have worked. Since the price of cigarettes went up on January 1st, over 20,000 people have called our quit line, ready to kick the habit. Already we have saved lives. It is time to take the next step. 23 days ago, every bar, every restaurant, every workplace in the state of Illinois went completely smoke-free. Five months ago, the state of Minnesota went completely smoke-free. From Appleton to Ashland, more than 30 communities across Wisconsin have gone smoke-free. The patchwork approach to public health is bad for business, and the time for action is now. I want to thank Senator Risser and Representative Wickert for their leadership on this issue. Wisconsin should not become the ashtray of the Midwest. It is I'm telling you, if Ireland and California and New York and Illinois and Minnesota can do it, Wisconsin can do it. And it is time to do what's right and make all workplaces completely smoke-free. After all of Fred's years of service, he deserves this one, doesn't he? Nicole and Matthew Horton are here tonight. And Nicole and Matthew could... I want to thank the Hortons for allowing me to share their story here with you tonight. And unfortunately, it is a story that there are thousands of other families in this state that are dealing with. 3 years ago, Nicole and Matthew gave birth to their son, Owen. But it wasn't too long before they realized that Owen was not developing like he should. The doctor said that Owen had autism. It was serious, but if he got immediate treatment, the chances for improvement would grow dramatically. Now, Nicole and Matthew have done everything we'd ask of them. They have worked hard to get good health insurance so that it would be there if they had an illness in their family. But when they turned to their insurance company to pay for Owen's treatment, they were rejected. Owen's treatment costs more than $50,000 a year, a cost almost no Wisconsin family could ever afford. A year ago, I asked lawmakers to help families who struggle with autism. Enough is enough. Senator Robson and Representative Ott have authored legislation that would require insurance companies to cover autism treatment. The Hortons are here because they want lawmakers to side with Wisconsin families, not big insurance companies. Thank you. From the health of our families to the health of our economy, we have work to do together. But it all begins with a commitment to education. For me, it's pretty basic. This is what Jessica has taught me over the years. It comes down to what every parent wants for their child, what we wanted for our children, what we want for our grandson, small class sizes, good teachers, and high standards. Over the past year, Democrats and Republicans have come together to invest in education, from four-year-old kindergarten to our world-class colleges and universities. We've opened the doors of opportunity for every student willing to work hard and earn their way. Students like Justin Bieber. Justin. Justin and his grandparents, Joanna and Donald, who are with him here tonight. And this is an amazing story. After his mother left home and his father passed away, Justin had to take care of his younger brother and put himself through college. He has earned a 3.5 grade point average. At the same time, he found time to mentor middle school students and to coach high school football. And by the way, Justin also played a little football himself. He is a three-time All-American, and Justin was named the best player in the country for Division III football and led the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater Warhawks to their first ever national championship. Now, here's all Justin did in that championship game. He gained 249 yards rushing, although he claims they are recalibrating and he truly believes it was 250 yards that he had in that game. He is a remarkable young man. Justin, thanks for making us so proud. And you know, he's studying to be a teacher. This is why I really love this guy. So when his... So when his days of playing for the Packers are over, he is going to be a great Wisconsin teacher. To make sure we have more kids ready to compete in the world, I urge you to pass legislation to make a third year of math and a third year of science mandatory for high school graduation. We need high standards for our students and our teachers. But we have a compensation system that rewards neither. The system is broken. Frankly, this system of teacher compensation is a relic from a political fight half a generation ago. I wasn't here, most of you weren't here, and we are still living with the relic of that fight. From Waukesha to Wausau, school districts, parents, and taxpayers have all had enough, and I know you hear that in your districts. Every day, we depend on our teachers to enrich young minds and build a brighter future for Wisconsin. But today, and this is important, I hope you all focus on this, today teachers in Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, and Iowa all make more than Wisconsin teachers. In fact, starting teachers in 48 other states make more than starting teachers in Wisconsin. Nearly one-third of Wisconsin's teachers, some of the most dynamic and energized we have, leave the profession within 5 years for a new career and a more sustainable future for their families. In the next budget, I will present a plan to invest in a compensation system that rewards teachers who take on the hardest assignments, who advance their skills, and who help students achieve success. Let me introduce three Wisconsin heroes who exemplify the power of education. Alan Betry, Christina Clare, and Dick George, President and CEO of Great Lakes Higher Education Guarantee Corporation. Last spring, Alan, a teacher at Horace Mann Middle School in Wausau, stood before his eighth grade class and told them about the Wisconsin Covenant. If they were willing to work hard, play by the rules, and make the grade, there will be an opportunity in higher education for them. Christina Clare from East High School in Madison last year joined with more than 17,000 other eighth graders from all 72 Wisconsin counties to sign the Wisconsin Covenant Pledge. 17,000 kids said they wanted to go to college, and they're willing to work hard to get there. In Wisconsin, we're also doing the right thing for our veterans. Last year, in Wisconsin, we gave our veterans a ticket to higher education, tuition free. But we didn't stop there. No other state in the country has done more to make higher education affordable. The last 4 months in Wisconsin have been astounding. First, In the budget passed on a bipartisan basis, we committed nearly $190 million to financial aid, and we approved the University of Wisconsin Growth Agenda, a plan to create more college graduates and train the next generation of teachers, nurses, and engineers. And then Great Lakes Higher Education Corporation quickly followed under the leadership of Dick George, dedicating $40 million and establishing the Wisconsin Covenant Foundation to recruit support from businesses across the state and help our students afford a higher education. Thank you, Dick. Dick, stand up. And just last month, on top of the commitment we made in the budget, the Wisconsin Covenant Foundation, on top of that last month, John and Tasha Morgridge announced an incredible gift of $175 million for the Fund for Wisconsin Scholars, helping public school students go to our public universities and colleges. They're not here. I'll tell them you stood and clapped and searched for them, but they. It's pretty simple for me. It's pretty basic. I don't want any young person in this state to think that college is not for them, that it's only for rich people. I want every student to know that if they do their part, there will be an opportunity in higher education for them. To build a bright future for Wisconsin, we must continue to reach across the aisle, put partisanship aside, and focus on the incredible assets we have in this state. From the majestic shores of Lake Michigan to the brutal and beautiful waters of Lake Superior, the Great Lakes are Wisconsin's most precious natural resource. But the Great Lakes face many new challenges. Regions of the country that have overbuilt look at our fresh water with an envious eye. As chair of the Council of Great Lakes Governors, I, along with my fellow governors, have taken aggressive action, signing the Great Lakes Compact to preserve and protect our fresh water for generations. In the coming weeks, leaders in the legislature will introduce a bipartisan plan to approve the Great Lakes Compact. And I want to thank all of the Democrats and Republicans who have been working so hard on this to help move the compact forward. Let's continue to work together to ratify and implement this historic agreement and ensure that our Great Lakes remain protected forever. We have a certain way of doing things in Wisconsin, not with a lot of flash and not with a lot of fanfare, but with a dedicated spirit and a ton of hard work. Just look at our armed forces serving all over the world. They and their families are making incredible sacrifices for our nation. Another 3,400 Wisconsin Army National Guard soldiers have been notified that next summer they will begin deployment, many of them for a second time, for missions in Iraq. Let me say to all those who serve, to all those who take on the burden of protecting our nation, thank you. We are proud of you. I also want to recognize the new Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard, Brigadier General Don Dunbar. General Dunbar? I want to take this moment to thank General Al Wilkening, who many of you worked with closely over the last years, who recently resigned as Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard. Nobody led our great citizen soldiers and airmen through a tougher time than General Wilkening did. He served, not only did he look like a Hollywood general, but he served with incredible distinction and great leadership, and we thank him. And we are so fortunate to have a person of General Dunbar's ability and experience to take over the great Wisconsin National Guard. General Dunbar, thank you. Thank you. Now, like many, if not most people in Wisconsin, I am a huge golf fan. And I look around the room, know many of you are, and I've had the occasion to see a few of you try to hit golf balls from time to time. And like many of you, not only am I a great golf fan, but I cheer for the underdog. A few years ago, Steve Stricker was struggling. A great young career that began in Edgerton, Wisconsin, had fallen on hard times. He had lost his PGA card, and he wasn't sure what the future would hold. He and his wife, who also happened to be his caddy, Nikki, never complained. They never blamed anyone. They worked and worked, hoping that one day they could overcome. Steve Stricker is the most modest guy you will ever meet, but there's no question he has achieved one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the game. Last year, he won the Barclays and finished second in the FedEx Cup playoffs to a guy they call Tiger. That's who we are in Wisconsin. That's how we do things. In the face of adversity, we work hard. We work together, and we keep our eye on the ball. Steve Stricker has been a great example for what we must do here in Wisconsin. Face the challenge and succeed. Steve Stricker. Over the next year, our state will face challenges. Our national economy is troubled. In Wisconsin, we will have to deal with fiscal shortfalls like we have seen in other states. It will require some very difficult choices. But if we stay true to that which is most important, good schools, quality health care, and good-paying jobs, if we act responsibly and demand accountability for what we do, if we recognize that we are all tied together and are stronger when we look out for each other, then we will fulfill the promise of the greatest state in the United States on Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. All right, thank you. Thanks, Fred. Thank you, Mark. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for your help. Thank you.
So the governor accepts applause from the full legislature, members of the cabinet, and the Supreme Court. Not an easy speech tonight, really, as he said, really, in his first couple of lines, challenging days are ahead. So with the national economic picture and Wisconsin's economic picture, the governor is looking to grow Wisconsin. And his initiatives can't be big and bold and expensive.
No, the speech in many ways started out like a budget address, but we didn't hear any more about what might happen with the budget in light of this national economic slowdown and the state economic slowdown. So that's still to come. And so what you did here was sort of a mix of, you know, touting accomplishments and I guess more minor goals compared to what he's laid out in the past.
Yeah, and of course, everyone hopes that they work and that the legislature can do some work and pass some of these business incentives if, in fact, that is going to help Wisconsin stave off any of the deeper trouble that might be fall on other states around us or the nation as a whole. We should mention that we are waiting for Speaker Hipsch to talk to us, give us kind of the Republican response, if you will, and he will be making his way from behind the governor's place there to our place here in the behind the chambers. And we'll hear what Speaker Hipsch has to say about what the governor has given us here tonight.
You mentioned earlier there are plenty of areas where the speaker likes what he's hearing from the governor on some of these tax incentives to grow businesses for angel investors, things like that. The State Assembly actually passed a provision that the governor's wants here right now that pertains to angel investors today, and it was a unanimous vote. So these things are moving through the legislature with bipartisan support in some cases. Some of this other stuff, you know, we'll see. You saw the Republican side of the Assembly
right.
Did not stand.
How come they don't stand up, right?
When he mentioned increasing the minimum wage,
right.
Senator Decker's proposal would also index it to keep pace with inflation. So that may not be something you see in this session.
Right. And we've also heard early word that, of course, there are questions about where would the money come from in these days to fund even some of these other initiatives that he's talking about, whether they are energy efficiency initiatives or biofuel initiatives, that kind of thing. No one probably could dispute that we'd like to grow some of these industries in our state, but how now?
Right. And just in the limited time that they have left in this legislative session, what can we get everybody to agree to in relatively short order?
Because it would seem that if you are going to try to make any of these kind of economic initiatives work in the long run, but even more so in the short run, you have to get them passed and get them implemented. So we should say that Speaker Mike Hipsch is here now with us. Thanks very much for joining
us. Of course. My pleasure.
Well, I guess we want to ask you overall your sense of the governor's address.
Well, I was pleased that the governor recognizes some of the challenges that we are going to face here in Wisconsin. The economy not only here in Wisconsin, but across the nation is slowing, and we see that. I think that the Republicans are ready to stand with the governor and move forward on some of the economic development ideas that he's come out with this evening, and frankly, some ideas that we've already passed. One of the things that he has supported and wanted to move forward on is tax credit for angel investments, and that's legislation that we passed today on a bipartisan fashion. There's a number of other things, including the R&D tax credit, research and development, the capital gains tax reform, things where we know that people are investing back in Wisconsin, giving businesses the opportunity to expand and people the opportunity to be employed and expand their income. Those are the type of things that I think we're going to be able to work together on and get passed.
What in this speech was a non-starter for you? I saw your side of the aisle, and the governor remarked you didn't stand when he talked about raising the minimum wage.
Right. Well, the minimum wage is something that we just did raise. The federal government just raised it as well. And obviously the minimum wage is something that has been a bit of a sticking point for the Republicans as far as whether or not it is, in fact, an incentive in expanding the economy. What we want to try to focus on is giving employers the opportunity and removing some of those mandates and the tax burden that we have on people and on businesses. In the budget, as the governor talked about, we were able to reduce the tax burden on families through tax credits for health care insurance premiums that they pay, for child care tax credits, and for higher education. We removed some of those tax burdens. The governor outlined today some of the ways that we can allow businesses and individuals to invest in companies and in their communities to expand. And those are the things I think we're going to be working together to move forward on.
Yeah, no one could dispute that health care costs are burdensome for small businesses. What do you think of the Badger Choice Plan that he's talking about?
Well, we know there's a great deal of anxiety that families have over the cost of health care today. And one of the things that we have consistently, as Republicans, come out and try to work in a bipartisan fashion to move forward on is giving individuals greater control over their health care dollars, the money that's already being spent on their health care, and greater information about health care, giving them, disclosing the cost of the services and the procedures that are out there. That's legislation that we're moving forward on. The Badger, the Badger Choice, I believe he called it, is a program he has just outlined a little bit this evening, and we'll see what the details are. I mean, what we want to do, he spoke about good things as far as consumer-driven, free market reforms in healthcare. That's where I think we can really make some serious advances and give individuals the power to reform healthcare and control over their own healthcare dollars and their own choices. I mean, it really comes down to the anxiety people are feeling is, of course, over the cost and the fact that they have so few choices in healthcare. We want to try and restore that for them, and I think we have legislation designed to do exactly that.
The governor started his speech talking about deep cuts and hard sacrifices that you're going to have to make. How soon do you think you're going to be back here making some of those cuts, right, or how likely is it that you're going to have to revisit this budget that you've spent so long passing?
Yeah, he did cite the fact that there are several other states that are facing deficits. Wisconsin is very likely to do that as well, mainly because Wisconsin government, like many governments, are finally facing what families have faced for a long time. We don't have as much money coming in as we expected, or costs have gone up, like fuel and other things, that we simply don't have the money to spend in other areas. I think one of the first things we need to do is take a look at the new programs that we talked about or passed in this last budget and perhaps delay those, right, or say that we simply can't do it.
Like which ones?
Well, we can look at a number of areas. I mean, there were programs all over from healthcare ideas that were government-run to areas in expanding new educational programs, just a number of new programs. What we need to do is begin to focus back on the priorities that Wisconsin has had for a long time. Educating our children, providing for those who can't provide for themselves, on programs that we've had for quite some time. Things like Badger Care and Senior Care, making sure that our schools get the dollars that they need, getting back to the core functions of government, and recognizing that, like Wisconsin families, government's not going to have as much money as we anticipated we would have. But that being said, I think it's important to note that we are 7 months into a 24-month budget. So there is still opportunity for this economy to turn around, and I think if, again, we work in a bipartisan fashion with the governor on some of the issues that he talked about this evening as far as incentives, businesses and providing individuals greater opportunity for economic expansion, perhaps we can turn this economy around here in Wisconsin, and we may not have as great a challenge.
You know, I think a lot of people are really concerned given the national picture with the looming recession. How long could you tell people it might take for some of these programs, some of these incentives and credits to actually take hold and start growing Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's so difficult to say. There's so many factors that go into the economy. Obviously, a few years ago, no one had anticipated $3 a gallon gas. No one anticipated the high costs of so many things that we're facing today. And so a lot of those factors are things that are national or even global. But one of the things that I do know is that if we work together bipartisan fashion to try and get government out of the way and allow businesses to expand, allow individuals to invest in their own families and their own communities, I think we can turn Wisconsin's economy around relatively quickly. And the reason I know that is because we have some of the hardest working people in the country with one of the best work ethics around. Give them the opportunity to expand this economy. Give them the opportunity to expand our communities and invest in our state. And I know we can turn it around in Wisconsin. I'm very optimistic about the resource we have and the people of this state. We simply need to give them the opportunity to move forward and grow Wisconsin.
All right. Well, Speaker Hipsch, thanks very much for joining us and giving us
your
time.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it very much. That does conclude our coverage of the governor's sixth State of the State address here at the state capitol in Madison. You can watch for more coverage on our Friday program Here and Now. Until then, I'm Frederica Freiberg.
And I'm Sean Johnson for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good night.